Eva Perry, Justin Tyler, and Alex Dowden.
What's up, everybody? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our band of Booth Band. Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming out on this hot summer evening.
Yeah. We're a little casually dressed tonight.
What is up with that, you guys?
Oh, don't you dare.
Alex, you made us.
Alex forgot his jacket, so he made us take ours off, even though we schlepped ours around the hot sun all day.
Look, okay, listen. I was on the way to the
this
show.
This better be good.
I was on the way to the show. I was way too far away from my house when I was like, oh, crap. I don't have my jacket. I don't have my show shirt, anything like that. I could go back or I could let these guys down.
Why would you leave the house without your jacket?
Half a block away from my apartment.
Oh, man.
It's hot out.
Well, I'm just saying, this casual nature of the show will only bring us down.
Yeah, whatever, dudes.
Also, we got Wicked Stone before we came out. Just because it's cash, right, guys?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm very excited.
You guys got Stone?
We're going to...
Yeah. Yeah, Alex has a bunch of bots.
Guys, we got to do
this. And other weird drugs I've never even seen before.
Wow.
We got to bang this out before I start freaking out, guys. So, we have an awesome show for
you. Yeah, we do.
I'm very excited about the guests we have. Ladies and gentlemen, Sisto Cattolucci and John Gabrus.
Yeah! Yeah!
Especially in there.
Yeah, I heard business casual, so I...
Yeah.
You hit both those words really well. Business casual.
Yeah. I'm the lead singer of AC/DC.
That's cool. Thanks for coming on the show, guys. Thanks for dressing up for it. Yeah, it's
fun. That's a boy's large jacket. That's mine.
Who'd you get that off of?
I steal stuff from kids all the time. I have a bunch of strollers.
That's more like stealing from parents than stealing from kids.
A kid who's worth his soul will buy his own stroller, is what I'm saying. It's like you own your first car.
This is fascinating. So,
philosophy.
John, let's talk to you. What's going on? What's going on? You've been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, I've been on the show a couple of times. I like it here. What's going on with me? Not much. I just watched Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
You good. Just watched it? Where you been?
What? For those of you who don't know, I was in a coma. And the moment I got out, I watched Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Thanks. What a bummer. Come out of your coma and watch that.
Do you want to go back into a coma?
The entire time you were under, we were playing Elektra, Catwoman.
Damn it, I missed all the good ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Just were like, and one of these is going to bring that.
I really wish I had done something else in the last like 3 weeks of my life other than watch that movie. Yeah. Have something to talk about.
No, that's cool. Wow, we can talk to Cecil.
Yeah, she's way more interesting. Let's go to Cecil.
let's talk about this, which isn't coming out until September, which is very exciting. It's the sequel to your Minx book, Plain Janes. You want to talk a little bit about what the first one is and what we can look forward to in the second one?
Well, the first book, The Plain Janes, it's about...
Which rocked, by the way.
Thank you.
Woo!
Let her talk.
one person. Woo!
No.
No more! Yeah. Gotta warm them up.
Yeah, here you go. So The Plain Janes is about a girl named Jane who was in a terrorist attack in Metro City, which is a fictional city, obviously. And her parents move her to the suburbs, and she decides to not be popular and to... become part of the reject table at lunch, and all the girls at the reject table are also named Jane. And because she found a sketchbook at the scene of the attack that says Art Saves, she decides to form a guerrilla art group called the Plain Janes, People Loving Art in Neighborhoods. And so at the end of book one, sorry for spoilers, but they do a lot of art, and the people in the town get really mad, and the boy, the cute boy, gets caught doing the art attack, and there's some, questions. And so book two, Jane's in Love, it starts 3 days later. And you find out what happens to the boys, what they do about their continuing art attack stuff, and also there's a dance, the Ides of March dance, you know, where the girls have to ask.
Yeah, classic.
You all had that in your eyes. You know, the Ides of March.
Yeah, the Ides of March. Well, you know.
Someone dies at the end.
Yeah, exactly. So should they all die. And you know, they're struggling with crushes and having to ask boys out to this dance.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
He's been through that.
What has the response been like to the first book? I mean, obviously good enough that you're able to go ahead and make the second one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really terrific. I mean, like, I get emails from teenagers and girls and women and men who love it and men who give it to their girlfriends or their wives or their daughters. And it's the first comic book that they're able to share with them. And so it's been, like, really, really, like, a lot of, like, really moving stories about, like, you know, like, guys who are like, God, you know, my girlfriend read this book, and now she's read another comic book, and now she's read, you know, it's sort of like a... It's
how
like
can I get her to stop?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll it's like a gateway drug.
Alex, there's a bunch of gateway drugs in the bag. Well,
guys, we've got to keep this updated.
Yes.
So you're a dealer now.
I'm a dealer. But anyway, I'm really proud, and I'm really proud of the Minx line. Like, I think it's awesome. And so I've read a bunch of the books that are coming out this season, and I just think they're terrific. New York 4, Brian Wood, and Amico Superstar by Marika Tamaki, and Burnout by Rebecca Donner. I mean, they're all terrific.
I don't know how much you can speak to this, I mean, on that note, but Minx, when it first came out, was kind of, it was a big deal, because it was a graphic novel line that specifically supposed to appeal to teenage girls,
right,
as well as anybody.
Right.
And do you know how well, other than specifically your book, that has done? I mean, has that panned out? Lots of teenage girls only.
What are you getting at, Alex?
Yeah.
I think that yeah, it has worked out because like I go to a lot of, you know, I write young adult novels, and you know, these are young adult books as well, and I go to a lot of like conferences, like the American Library Association, Book Expo America, the National Conference of Teachers of English, you know, and
saw you there that one.
Yeah.
Hey, don't you do a juggling show at one of those?
Yeah, I catered that one.
So a lot of teachers and librarians, you know, come up and like they talk about the Minx line. They say like, I'm getting them all for you know, for my library, or you know, I've got them in my school library or whatever. And if you look at the ALA, the American Library, the YALSA, which is the Young Adult Library Services section of ALA. They just started 2 years ago a great graphic novels for teen list, you know, and The Regifters by Mike Carey was one of the top 10. You know, they also had, God, I just started reading it yesterday, what was it, by Matthew Liu,
Side-Scrollers. Yeah.
Oh my God, the best book, so good, right? And so that was a top 10 as well, and Blue Beetle was a top 10.
Nice.
And so, you know, it's really like, The graphic novels in young adult literature is really taking off.
Cool.
And so,
well, that's good news.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, no, that's great news. I mean, on that note, you were mentioning that there's a couple of other... Absolutely. On that note, you were mentioning a couple of other projects that you're working on in the future that are incorporating graphic novel elements.
Yeah.
You
just tell them where they
put a jacket on. Put a jacket on.
Look, you all look like giant purple dragons right now. So I don't know what's going on.
I'm loving writing comic books. Like I love it, and so I you know wanted to do other things. So I'm doing an early chapter book series, which is sort of a hybrid between a sort of early chapter book and a comic book graphic novel with Sarah Veron, who did Robot Dreams, and I'm super super excited about that. I mean, like it's just going to be, I think, really terrific because it's like, and then like a hybrid. And then, and it's for little kids, you know. And then Holly Black and I, Holly Black is a YA urban fantasy writer. She wrote the Spiderwick Chronicles. Her and I are co-editing an anthology together called Geektastic.
Nice.
And it's YA short stories about the geeks and the geeks observed, because, you know, we're geeks and stuff. So, but anyway, the interstitials between all of the stories are 5-panel, single-page comics by 8 of them are by Hope Larson and 8 of them are by Brian Lee O'Malley. So I'm super excited about that. So.
And when's that coming out?
That's good. They're both coming out next year, fall, spring 09.
Cool. And when's this coming out?
September 08.
All right. Cool. Well, then, it is time for our first section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
First issue we are going to talk about today is Trinity at number one from DC
Vaguely.
Comics,
yeah.
Which is a publisher. It is. This is another weekly comic from DC. Pete, you've been pretty critical of DC's weekly comics.
What?
What would you?
Here's your soapbox. Begin your rant.
First of all, I'm really excited about the series. It started off a little like, I don't know. Like, why all of a sudden is it cool for like Spider-Man, Batman, or
Spider-Man.
Superman, Batman.
I don't know why I'm so excited about this comic book, that Spider-Man and Batman.
No, but they're just hanging out drinking lattes. I'm like, get to the action!
Yeah, Batman orders the prissiest coffee I've ever heard anyone say.
Well, he's trying to be Bruce Wayne. He's trying to, you know, if he ordered a black coffee, people would be like, wait, are you Batman?
Yeah, they go right to I drink black coffee.
Are you?
I thought that was kind of funny, actually. You know, that, like, you know, Bruce Wayne was, like, ordering, like, a half-calf, non-calf 14-degrees.
He used words I've never even heard of.
He's
like a barista and the Riddler's worst nightmare. Finally, someone taking down both of those arch-nemesis. Yeah.
This book, for those of you who haven't read it yet, the idea is it's following Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman as they go on a 52-week adventure. And then there's a backup story involving villains that follows a parallel path and probably intersects at some point. They never intersect. It's essentially telling the same story, but never
coincides
together. It's also pretty big because Mark Bagley is... This is the first book that he is doing for DC, just moving over from Marvel.
Yeah, he packed his bag leaves and moved right over.
Oh!
Somebody got no sleep last night.
That's Alex's line. I stole.
Oh, did I say that?
Never mind. You're welcome.
I thought this is enjoyable. I mean, there's nothing too fantastic or new about what's
yet
going on there.
But next week they get paninis.
Yeah.
Alright, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Alright, let's move on to talk about Secret Invasion number 3, another big event, this time from Marvel. Skrulls are invading the Marvel Universe. How do you guys think this series is holding up?
Boring! So boring this has been.
Well, I mean, I think in the other comics it's more enjoyable, but right
like
now...
Different comics with different characters.
Yeah, like
this one.
I like movies.
Yeah.
The Skrulls are in there.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
You know what I'm talking about, douchebags.
You don't know if I know. I know if I know. You don't know what I know.
Don't make my head hurt.
Exactly. I beat you. As we talked about this before, how it's a full 22-page comic, and it seems like it's like 4 or 5 pages long. Not a lot happens.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. The thing about it is the art is good, the writing is good, but the way it's paced out, it feels like nothing happens at all. And for something that comes out once a month and is supposed to be this major backbone event of the Marvel Universe over the course of 8 months, it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit much. I wish they weren't fleshing it out in the other books. I mean, it's supposed to be...
Yeah, the other books are a lot more...
But it's not even really giving them that much.
Well, and the thing is, a lot of it is like, can you believe we seeded all this stuff like 6 months ago? And they're just explaining. It's really showy. When I just want to find the story.
That's pretty cocky to be like, we seeded shapeshifters. Because I could, like, you know what I mean? Like, that, you could just shoot one more scene in any movie and be like, they're all shapeshifters. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, you don't plant a seed. Like, at any point, you could just be like, oh, that person was a shapeshifter the whole time. Like,
yeah.
Like the plot to Mission Impossible 3. They just keep ripping each other's faces off.
Yeah. That's
spoiler.
Stick around after the credits for the other Bolin girl when they all turn into other shapes.
Yeah, exactly. They're all like doppelgangers and stuff.
That's why they have to keep cutting off the heads.
Yeah. The women.
I mean, there's another thing just to mention about this. Patton Oswalt posted on his MySpace blog back on March 25th, and I just remember.
Name dropper.
What is this? It's a little Patton or buddies on MySpace.
Yeah. They're real close.
Yeah. MySpace is totally cool to hang out on there.
time. All
It's going to be around for a really long time, and there's nothing better. So, anyway, Pat Oswalt posted on his blog, this is the name dropping party. He was like, I'm good friends with Brian Michael Bendis, and he sent me the first three issues of Secret Invasion. And he talked about how there's Pat's shittingly good moments at the end of every issue. There's a huge reveal in the third issue of somebody that holds the key to stopping the Skrulls. It's the last person you would want it to be. And several other details that don't match up with this at all.
I will admit I shit my pants at the end of the second.
Was that related?
Well, you said
no,
drink
totally
black coffee,
right?
Oh, okay. Huh? You drink black coffee.
Yeah, no, it goes right through you.
Cool. Pick up Secret Invasion.
Did I derail your point there?
No.
So they obviously changed the story since then to make it worse.
I just feel like...
Classic Bendis movie.
People are... Marvel's like, all right, people are going to buy this book. Let's try to make the other ones more interesting to try to sell these, and then we'll make this one interesting later.
I think they're just...
Later.
Yeah. Like years from now.
No, like five...
On reflection.
Four, yeah. 5, 6
on your
are going to
be... deathbed, it's going to be way interesting.
I get it. Oh. He's going to have Alzheimer's, as we covered in the previous show, so he won't remember anything.
How long is the scroll... I haven't read very many of these. How long... They were started that last year, right?
Well... According to the legend, Bendis had that in mind when he wrote a lot of his stories back in the day, like 3 years ago.
Yeah, three or 4 years ago.
And then later was like, so we should do this Skrull thing. Here's, it's already all laid out. And they were like, well, I guess we should do it, since it's already started.
Right.
Which I
Bendis
think is so
sneaky.
God.
It's sneaky.
Yeah. Skrull-like.
In any case, the art's good. All right, let's move on. Talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You can't even not smile when you say it.
He's just so good. What do you guys think about the issue? Because obviously I'm a little biased.
Well, it's got something for everybody. There's a giant fighting a robot.
Not a blind person.
Somebody got
gets
punched in the eye for sure, and they can't see.
Yeah.
See, there
you
go. Thank you for having my back.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer and her army of Slayerettes are in Japan fighting these vampires that have the ability to turn to wolves and mist and stuff like that. Dawn, since the beginning of the series, has been stuck as a giant. And you want to talk about that? Dawn's been a giant. She ends up fighting a Mecha Dawn. And
Tokyo. What's his name? Michael,
Xander?
Dracula?
Andrew.
Andrew, thank you.
Nice.
You know, and like when he tells her how she should fight the Mecha Dawn, and you know, and she's like, how would you know that? And he was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like a dude. That was funny. I mean, I'm not up to this part yet because I'm a digest girl, but I've really been enjoying the Buffy. You know, the Buffy series.
Yeah, it's
continuation.
Good. And I never really watched the series very much. And I still like the comic.
Good to hear.
Yeah. It's a little
great. That's why I made this talk about it.
Yeah.
So I can just have validation. All right.
Wait, you're not going to talk about the lesbian scene or anything? You're just going to move on?
I don't know. It's just a character thing, guys.
Wow. That's not true.
Yeah.
You were totally geeking out about that before. Now you're not.
And by geeking out, of course, you mean... jerking off.
I just thought it was funny how she was like,
that was something I shared with you. Unfortunately.
I don't know where the line is. I
just thought it was crazy. I was like, we should break up. And then it's like, all right, I'll see you later. Well, we should do one last time before we break up, don't you think?
Take one for the road.
Yeah. Classic.
Isn't that par for the course with any breakup?
Yeah. Always get that last one in.
Yeah.
Fuck! Now I know.
Yeah. Damn. It's hard to convince it if you're like in a fight. This is a very amicable break.
Great issue. Definitely pick it up. Moving on, Cable number 4. Cable is in the future with a tiny little baby being followed by Bishop, who now has one arm.
And a big gun.
And a big gun, and that's pretty much it. Pete, I was kind of surprised you didn't like this.
Well, I was just pissed that Cable's supposed to be so badass, and he sucks. Like, he cannot lose Bishop at all.
Well, his arm's
not
broken.
Even...
Like, the robot arm's busted.
Yeah, but he's still ridiculous. That shouldn't affect the fact that he's stupid. Like, he jumps time, and then it's like, wherever he jumps to,
He goes to a diner. Bishop finds out it's a diner, and he's like, all right, who didn't show up for work today? Oh, this lady, and she lives here. Oh, guess where Cable's hanging out. Hey, smartass, way to be! I'm glad we left you in charge of the baby.
Wait, that's what you have a problem with? Now he jumps time and goes to a diner to eat? I'm on a getaway, you know what I mean? Like, people catch, like, cops can catch people at diners. I'm sure a bishop can catch somebody stopping.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. It's he's... And then it's
what,
like...
you say he should have eaten some future food.
Yeah. I can time travel, but all I want to get is a fucking gyro at a diner, at a roadside diner. Go wherever, you know?
That's true of you, though.
Yeah.
Not of Cable. Yeah.
What's a story about someone else? I'm pretty self-centered.
It's a great idea for a book, though. A guy who travels through time and eats Jarvis wherever he goes.
Yeah. A book, not a novel.
A book.
I'm on it.
Young adult.
For mix. Yeah. Young girls will love that. Yeah.
This series is very weird. It's Olivetti's art, which is very like sparse, and the world looks very different. Also, it takes place in New Jersey.
What do you got against New Jersey?
I don't have anything against it, but it's
spoiler.
It looks very, it's very weird looking, and the story.
I love the art.
Yeah, the art's
nice. It's very cool. It's very unique. It's very blocky. You know, I mean, the characters don't really look like human beings necessarily, but at the same time,
it's a good argument. It's a good argument. Well, it's not an accurate representation of what it's trying to look like.
I was reading some Pollock paintings.
No, and the buildings are all over the place, and there's no background. Yes. It looks terrible. Wait, what?
Drugs. Well, what I'm saying is the story is also so sparse, that the art's so sparse, it seems like you're like, it's a desert, it's deserted. The whole, wow, this is getting waxing poetical. But, it's just such a smart story.
I agree with you. I can't necessarily explain why it works for me here that there's a very smart story as opposed to Secret Invasion where there's not. Maybe because there's not as much pressure on it to be an event.
And I think this could be good. It's a cool idea that Cable's got the baby who's going to grow up to be Jean Grey.
The baby's so tiny. It's very like this small. Big. It's basically a fetus.
What?
It's not a fetus. It's, all right. That was
it looks
weird.
Like a koosh. A koosh ball.
What? What man's koosh ball?
No, Popple. I'm thinking Popple.
What man's Popple?
Just because it appears here, don't say it here.
Jesus.
Cable, would you say pick it up?
No.
Based on our conversation, no.
Based on my recommendation, apparently not. All right, let's move on. Talk about the latest issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
Great.
Justin, you love this. Talk about it.
The art's fantastic. It's such a... They're finally starting to pay off all the One More Day stuff, where...
Finally starting to pay off
the One More Day
stuff?
Because you see Mary Jane here, and she's not with Peter, and it's so sad. It's so sad to me. And she knows about the whole thing.
I just wish they... I like the fact that they're like, okay, we... did something very horrible. We ripped all your hearts out.
Don't know that. Yeah. That's you.
Right, well, anyways, they're saying, I like the fact that, like, hey, let's just introduce new villains. Let's get past this. But then it's like they reopen the wound by bringing her in a random fucking, guess who, what's his name's dating? Oh, yeah, I'm Jay. And then she does that stupid, oh, why do I feel like I know you? Or, maybe we should be together. I don't know why I'm saying that.
But I think...
No, but... Okay,
no. I've seen him do this before. I thought it was for a while.
I'm just reenacting what's on...
That was his audition for Steppenwolf.
Man, you were...
Callback.
August Osage County.
I never read that one, the One More Day, you know. But I mean, obviously, I know what you're referring to and what that you can't, you know, be in the comics and not know about that. But I really enjoyed this. Like, I thought that was kind of cool. And, like... You know, I mean, you know, I haven't read Spider-Man in a long time, and I really liked it, and I liked the fact that there was that sort of like bittersweetness of, you know, of like him being, because he doesn't say like, I think I should be with you. What he says is, we make a good team.
Yeah, but what about her stuff? It's all like,
because I think the way they're doing it is she knows about the whole deal,
right? And how does she know?
Because that's the deal that she made.
She made the deal.
Well, though, when she whispered into his ear.
Yeah, I remember everything.
That's what I think, too.
So. Why is she playing with his emotions? emotions if she knows everything then?
She is not ready to see him yet.
And she
can't. What? Okay, that doesn't make any sense!
Hold on. I want you to imagine for a minute. You're Spider-Man.
Okay.
Justin, I want you to stop imagining for one moment.
You made a deal with the devil, right?
MJ did. I, you know.
Okay.
I didn't want to have.
You know what? You're Mary Jane Watson.
Okay.
You're
the most. I'm Spider-Man.
Hold on. You're Spider-Man.
You're Hulk.
You're Hulk.
Yeah.
Betty Brett.
All
right. And I'm J. Jonah Jameson.
That's your hero?
That's your hero.
He's major dick. He doesn't have any crowds. He's just an asshole. He's just an asshole.
Hold on.
Sorry about that.
Make sure your assignments are in on time. Everyone's like, thanks for coming out, Salvin.
We'll call you tomorrow to come play.
I used to smoke these candy cigars. Yeah. All right, Manhunter, number 31. Very exciting. Don't know if any of you were reading this series. Obviously, not a lot of you were, but there was a huge fan base that did make the series come back several months, if not, I think it was years, after it was canceled for the second time. You guys have not read as much Manhunter as I have, so
Zero.
I'm curious to hear what you thought of the issue.
I like it a lot. I love the Gatos art. It reminds me a lot of the Alias series that he also drew, the writing as well. And also reminds me of Starman, which is one of my favorite series of all time.
We all know that. You bring it up every show.
I haven't read the new Manhunter, but I belong to Manhunter.com, so I'm surprised I haven't read it.
That's a...
No, I get updates all the time. I go meet people I like.
No, that's...
Maybe you're in that book then. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I took a bunch of pictures of me.
I've read some of the older stuff, and I was hoping that they would really... I feel like for bringing it back, this... I was a little disappointed with this issue a little bit, just because I read the older stuff, and I really got excited about it coming back. But I did like the idea of her trashing a movie opening. I thought that was kind of a fun thing.
To give you, for those of you who have never read the series, the idea is Kate Spencer is a lawyer living in L.A. She moonlights as...
She-Hulk. Oh, no, different, sorry. Different
right. She-Hulk moonlights... That's not what you were trying to get. As this hero, Manhunter, she is a legacy hero of the DC Universe. The whole idea is she... tries supervillains. If the cases don't turn out the way she wants, she goes and kills them. Or at least that was the idea at the beginning, and it's gotten a whole lot more complicated than that as the series has gone on. The thing that I liked about this issue is it, as opposed to other things that we've talked about on the show, is very dense,
yeah.
But in a good way. There's a really nice two-page recap of the entire series right at the beginning. They reset up her status quo in the issue. And then by the end of the issue, there's a whole new adventure going on, which is also really nice.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to waste a lot of film taking pictures of, like, a naked guy.
It's all digital now.
It is a great book. Definitely
pick
it up.
Yeah, that's great. And if you're not quite sure if you want to pick this up, pick up the first trade, read it. You'll see if you're on board or not. All right, let's move on. Talk about FX number 4, which is not related to the movie series of the same name, sadly.
Or
the cable network.
Yeah.
My knowledge stops at FX2. That's what I know up to.
Movie.
That's it.
Wow.
Great movie.
Yeah, the first one was good.
Yeah. Crowd finally responding. Yeah, FX1. Way better. Own the property. Yeah, here we go. Whip them up.
I'm a big fan of this series. I like the way it's drawn. I like the... it's the same old tale. Kid gets powers. You know.
Doesn't that mean you shouldn't like it?
No, but I like the way this is done. Booth
Wait, someone fell
now.
Over. Did you fall asleep?
I'm just geeking out over here.
Yeah. You don't even know what that means! His crotch fell out. He's got to put it back in before he steps out.
I like the way it's drawn. I think it's written well. It's fun. It reminds me a little bit of Blue Beetle.
So, yeah. His costume?
No.
It's blue.
But Blue Beetle, you get into it right away. Like, it's just engaging right away. You're flipping the pages, and it's like, it's so engaging. And this I found really difficult to sort of, like, get into.
With Blue Beetle, the characters are so fleshed out, and they're so real. And this
I meant because it's a young guy who's just kind of figuring out his powers.
Right.
And so it's also like Spider-Man in that sense.
Yeah.
I completely agree, though, because I missed the first issue.
Yeah, so it's the same old sort.
I missed the first issue of this. I've read the past three issues when you brought them in, and I have no idea what his powers are. Even now,
he turns into an airplane.
He does.
I'm flipping through, trying to figure out the same thing, and the only
whatever he imagines.
The only image I come across is him with egg beater hands.
Yeah, if
he imagines. This is an Adam Sandler character.
If you had a superpower, would you choose egg beater hands?
Yeah. So when I go to diners, I could also get work. Smart. I can make souffles. He seems like I have like Green Lantern's powers. Right?
That's exactly which is
another ring.
So it's like Blue Beetle. His costume's like Booster Gold, and his powers like Green Lantern. I'm excited to get into this character.
That being said, John Byrne's art is not as awful as it usually is now. So, alright, let's move on.
They're glowing.
It's true. Batman Detective Comics. What'd you guys think about this issue?
Paul Dini's run has been so hit and miss. This one really hits. It's a great episode from the animated series. Which is kind of a peak.
This is new because usually you don't get to hear anything about other Batman relationships. Like Catwoman's pissed that Batman's been seeing ladies, and I was like, "Whoa!"
Yeah,
it was. It's something that doesn't usually get addressed, so it was very funny and very new.
And it's so nice. That's the Batman I want to see. I don't want to see this. Like, I don't talk to humans.
Batman I want to see is instant messaging all the time.
Yeah.
That was a fun secret. For those of you who didn't read the issue, Batman is investigating a mystery. He goes on to a mystery chat room where he and Detective Chimp are chatting in the chat room together with some other regular people.
I thought it was awesome. And they're all like, eating a sandwich or like, instant messaging. And I loved that Catwoman was pissed.
Yeah.
I loved it. I always like look for those little relationshipy things
What just happened? What was that?
We made a connection. That's how you connect with humans. Did you have a thing? You're like Batman. And that's not a compliment. You think it's a compliment.
What's great about this issue is it's a done-in-one mystery that still deals with the current continuity of the DC universe, adds some innovations, deals with the continuity that he set up in his own run, Paul Dini. It's great. It's just a great issue. Yeah. Highly recommend it.
And the next arc is the return of Hush.
Yeah.
Which I wonder how that's going to play with R.I.P.
I don't know.
That was just an open question.
Well, that's it for the staff.
Take that question home.
That's a thinker. All right, it is time for our next section, which is your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out
Booth Bag!
All right, my favorite section, because you guys make it up. Booth Bag!
Booth Bag!
You're geeking out again?
A little bit, just really quick. So we're moving around. Here we go.
Did you do drugs with Alex?
Me and myself.
Huh?
Did you do drugs with Alex? Is that what you mean? Things are moving around?
It's really hot. I've just been like falling apart. This is ripping.
Yeah.
The bottle of water helps.
That's your salary.
Yeah, I know.
The bottle of water is for the whole week, but
yeah. I'll use it up.
Oh. Here's some questions for the show today. Tonight's
show was crazy.
Cecil, how do you feel about performance groups like Improv Everywhere and Flash Mobs compared to like Plain Janes?
How do I feel about them? I love them. I think they're awesome.
Okay.
I mean, I think you're talking about the people who like stopped in Grand Central Station.
Yeah,
I think it's great because I mean like it's in the same spirit as like the stuff that things too, sort of surprising art that makes you look at the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think anytime anybody is doing that, I'm 100% pro that. So, love.
It's funny because that used to be so popular, like in the 60s, like happenings and stuff where happenings were going on all over.
I was just involved in a happening the other
ooh,
day.
What happened?
I don't know.
Was it the happening for the movie?
No, it wasn't the happening for the movie, which I know what that secret is in that movie.
You know the secret?
I know the secret.
You probably don't want to tell us.
No.
It's not.
I'll tell you later. But anyway.
Is it a twist? It's probably a twist. It's like a twist at the end.
Yeah, it's a twist. I'll tell you.
That's
later.
Fine. No, that's all I want.
So it's not really a twist. It's I thought it was a dumb thing, but that's
dumb?
Just me. Yeah.
Perfect. I love okay, dumb good. Stuff.
But anyway, so at MoCA, the museum, not MoCA, the museum here that just happened that thing, but
the
Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles, they have a. They had an exhibit to Alan Krapenow, I think his name is, and he was like one of the big performance artists who started like the whole thing, who started all those happenings and stuff. So they recreated one, and it was called Chair, and they went from Santa Monica Pier all the way down Sunset to downtown, and they brought a chair, and then they would like take pictures of people sitting in this chair. Chair would travel on the bus, like going down and stuff. And MoCA happened to be in there, and the person who was doing it was this woman that I, you know, had like an internship with once. And she was like, "Cecil, we're doing a happening. Sit in this chair." And what's a gal like me supposed to do?
Gotta
sit in the chair. You know?
We're doing a happening on this couch.
Right.
It's called couch.
Right over here.
Rival happening. So much happening.
You have a bunch
I'm
of
doing, I'm doing
He's
a happening
doing chair.
Yeah.
Chair's been done. Man. Well, you're doing a rolly chair.
I love that. I love that kind of stuff. I think performance art like that stuff. But it's like
this is trivia, man.
Performance art is like another thing. There's like one of those fine art forms where it's like a couple of bad apples spoil the bunch.
It's
so
true.
Like,
it's
everyone's
true.
Idea.
It's true.
My idea of performance art is like a dude jerking off with like
right.
a chicken on his head, or like in a dark room in a
right.
warehouse, right?
Right. Yeah. And whenever you like see it like in a movie or something like that, that's always what it is. It's always
yeah.
bad. But there's a lot of
and
really amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's like improv. Like, I do
yeah.
improv, but, like, you know, and then you see stuff where it's, like, all guys in matching bowling shirts,
right.
like, you know, yelling at the audience and, like, shaving each other's faces.
Right, right. right.
That's
what I think improv is, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like,
time.
The
yeah.
image that's conveyed
yeah.
after it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to diss performance art and usurp it with improv, but I'm
not
I
trying to diss
it. It's on. We're having another happening.
Let's go to the next question.
Okay. Should real life politics and situations be involved in comics?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe.
Yes.
I would say, like, you know, the one comic that springs to mind is Ex Machina. I really enjoyed that comic book, and even
yep.
though it doesn't have to do with real politics, I think it brings up some real, you know, questions that are interesting, and I appreciate that. And you know, while I don't have very many politics in my book, like I think there's a spirit of like sort of asking questions in a way. So I think the answer is, you know, I don't know that I want to ever read about exactly what's going on in the world.
Gets
because,
a little
oh yeah, and also because I think you can't have an interesting conversation
yeah.
if you're talking about. Something that's actually real, but I think you can pose interesting questions.
DMZ does a good job.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
yes.
I think comic books work best on a level of metaphor, you know, rather than just having, a comic book character has an abortion, so we're going to talk about abortion. But you can come up with a way of doing it where you can talk about that issue, but in the world, something that makes sense in the world of superheroics, rather than bringing
it's
it
like
down to a ground level.
Sometimes a little too ham-fisted, though, where it's
yeah.
like, you know, it's like, oh man, Gary W. Shrub is in White House and he's really ruining it for everyone.
Yeah.
Sending over all our mutants to Afghaniran. You know, it's like, we get, like, they run the parallel like, a little too close, to, you know what I mean? Like, I remember reading, I think it was like an Avengers comic where they, like, the president was just, like, clearly painted like George Bush, like, he was drawn like George Bush, and, like, the president, and they kept referring to him as the president. I was like, just either come out and say it or, like, take it back a little, too.
Yeah. Well, like Alex is saying, it's better when you can, because it's taken out of reality and fictionalized, then you can see it from a different way, and maybe you actually learn something, as opposed to something like that, where it's like,
Yes.
Yeah. We're taking a quick, you know, quick jab at George Bush. We're the only people doing it, you know. Like,
In any case, it's not successful most of the time, but sure, why not try? If you have something to say, it's better to say something than say absolutely nothing.
And like, well, I mean, you said ex machina, and everyone clapped. So obviously, something that involves issues that are present with us.
No, I conditioned them. I fed the mistakes at ex machina.
I know. I have a bunch of weird things that you hypnotized me several times. What?
Stop pretending you're Peter Parker.
What was your inspiration for the Plain Janes?
I love art and stuff like that, and so I thought it'd be kind of cool to have an art guerrilla gang. I'm not a visual person, but I always like it when they see cool things. When I was growing up, I used to see Keith Haring chalk drawings in New York City everywhere, and I just thought that was really surprising and cool. When I was growing up, it was the Cold War, and it was always like 5 minutes to midnight. You know, the crazy end of the world. War is about to happen, and then
it's not much different now.
Right, I know, right? It's not much different now. And when I was 10 years old, I was in a terrorist attack, an IRA bombing, and so after 9/11, I was like interested in the idea that these sort of same fears about the Cold War were sort of coming back, and I wondered how do we grow up? How does anybody in any time where there's all these like horrible things that happen, and they have things to deal with. How do you grow up and find beauty in a mad world and also have crushes on boys and do your homework and all that stuff? And so I was interested in, because I struggle with the idea of beauty and madness in the world, and I wanted to try to figure out how to express my trying to make beauty in the world.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that was a great answer.
Let's just call the show.
Yeah.
Before we take
who asked that question, actually? Raise your hand. Congratulations, you are getting a copy of Jane's in Love.
Thank you.
Nice. And that's it for audience questions. All right, it is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah, there we go. All right, first thing we are going to talk about, big release this week, is The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
And as it turns out, 3 of the 5 people here have seen it.
It's not this couch.
No, it's us.
So what did you guys think? We're not going to spoil anything.
Oh, we're not? Oh.
It's...
Maybe we're going to spoil something.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's kind of what you expect. Ed Norton's awful mopey. Is my big issue with it, which is tough. It's very much in the style of the 70s show. Not that 70s show.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Whoa, whoa. It's a little
impressive. Mr. Foreman! Yeah.
The 1970s Hulk show. And...
You seem lost in thought.
Well, I was thinking about that 70s show. Man, that's a funny show.
Is it in syndication?
Yeah.
Great. I liked it. I mean, I think it's not, by no means is it a bad movie. It's certainly a fun movie. One of the things that I think is great about it is that Louis Leterrier, the director, manages to build the action sequences throughout. So the first action sequence is good, and the second action sequence, bigger than that, and the last one right...
There's only 3 action sequences. Spoiler!
There's a couple more. But it definitely builds throughout, which is really, really nice to see.
Yeah, I definitely... thought it was a solid, good movie. I felt like I wasn't as good as Iron Man, and I definitely liked it better than the first Hulk that Ang Lee did. I really thought that there was a lot of great moments. Like, there were a lot of great stuff, and being, like, there was a lot of rewards for people with comic book geeks and, like, really know what's going on.
Yeah, in fact, so many that I'm like, wow, Marvel is insane. The way they're building... I mean, you guys, we've all already talked about all the releases coming up, and 2010, 2011, but the way they're building this, they're treating regular movie audiences as comic book fans,
right?
And saying like, no, you saw this movie, and now you're gonna have to come see the next one, and the next one, and then the other two after that.
Hey, it's smart, right?
Yeah.
Honestly,
I didn't see the movie, so I don't want to start talking shit about it or anything like that. But like, they're making a Thor movie. Is there going to be also like a bad guy that gives himself Thor powers to fight Thor? Because like that's happened now in Spider-Man 3, Iron Man, and now in Hulk too, because he fights Abomination, right?
Yeah.
So like, is that formula going to just ride it out all the way through?
Formula. I hope
it's a winning formula.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's
no,
it's so like to me, it's like it harkens back to like the same reason why I started to hate G.I. Joe, because they only killed robots.
What? Wait,
they
what?
Only killed
he
robots.
Started hating G.I. Joe.
I loved G.I. Joe for a long time, but then I realized they're only killing robots. And like,
and wait, that's what turned you off to it?
Yeah.
No, like, wait, they're not killing people. They're killing robots.
Humans, please. Yes.
How does this flow?
Because this connects, because it's like, oh, we're not going to, like, Iron Man could, like, you know, okay, we'll shoot a couple of terrorists, but now we're going to have to fight someone just like you on equal ground. I feel like that's such a cop-out where it's like, we can't figure out how to do action of Spider-Man versus a guy that doesn't fly around.
But
the
with the Hulk, if you don't have him fighting somebody at equal ground, you have him fighting a cloud like they did in the last movie.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is
but you could make
less
it,
fun
you could
than
make
you
it,
expected.
You could just make him anything but a guy who has the exact same origin story as him. And you're living in
he's
a comic
the same
book
color.
Yeah. You live in a comic book world, they could be like, oh no, a lava man has arrived. Hulk, please fight it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just as ridiculous as a guy as
lava
like,
man, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I would say the action sequence that ends this movie is way better than the other ones in the other recent Marvel.
I agree. Including actually Iron Man, which I think Iron Man is a better movie, but this one ends better.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, Liv Tyler's really good in it. William Hurt says the question. Yes.
Oh, go.
Oh,
no, you can finish it, then I'll...
Liv Tyler's good. William Hurt's good. William Hurt's good, that's it.
I have a question about the look, because, like, you know, I haven't seen this one, but, like, in the first Hulk movie, you know, it looked kind of dumb, you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, really big and kind of gray, you know?
This is
and, like,
much better. It's not perfect yet, you know? I mean, you're not going to be like, oh, that's definitely a real Hulk. You know, I mean, no.
Probably never do that.
I'm really annoyed to be in movies with, because I'm like, that is certainly a man in an iron suit.
Yeah. Iron Man, do tell, movie.
I take my hat off to you, Mr. Favreau. Ha-ha!
But this is way, way better than the first movie. And for most of the movie, it didn't really take me out of it. You know, there were a couple of times when the CGI is a little dodgy, but they're few and far between.
And one thing,
what does Naji mean?
Dodgy. It's a British term. Go to England.
Or the world.
Hey, wait a minute. What does Bingland mean?
One thing that made me realize what a stupid idea in the first one, they had the Hulk during the daytime against like desert background. And so, of course, it looks stupid. In this, it's like mostly dark and like it's raining a lot. So it looks cool because he yells it. He hates helicopters in this movie.
And lightning.
Yeah, he's very angry.
He's like, don't spoil this stuff, guys.
Yeah, he's like a dog.
He goes crazy on the 4th of July. He walks into his land, sprays piss everywhere.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to our next topic, which is a slightly related topic, which is Iron Man 2. Now, there's been a couple of items.
We already saw that as well. Yeah. It's pretty good.
It's okay. He
not
fights
the first.
Yeah, he fights an even bigger robot. Yeah. And it's an even weirder comic actor in the role.
Yeah. It's Rick Moranis.
That'd be awesome.
Wow.
I wish.
That's
I wish.
That is, that's a million-dollar idea. Right.
Rick Moranis.
And Lloyd, he fights Lloyd Bridges. They reanimate him.
The big news about Iron Man 2 is it actually happening? And if so, who is doing it? Because Marvel announced pretty soon after Iron Man came out that Iron Man 2 was coming out in 2010. So far, Jon Favreau has repeatedly said, nobody has talked to me about it.
Yeah.
And in fact, he went as far to say this past week that 2010 is too soon, that he really wishes they would take the 3-year schedule. Today, actually, right before the show, there was a little bit of an investigative reporting that went on that said apparently the reason they have not hired him is because they feel like Jon Favreau is asking for too much money, so they would rather get somebody cheaper.
Oh, horrible idea.
That's terrible. You get like if you get a film school kid, you can give him like $150. we want to make $300 million, you know, $307 million.
Yeah.
So we can't.
Well, instead of catering, they could just have his mom make some sandwiches.
Order a pizza.
Robert Downey Jr. is probably going to get like $35 million on the second movie, and it's like I was saying this backstage. It's like do you really have enough confidence in every other element of the movie that we could just start sliding out other? It's like, you know what? Let's save a little money on the green screen. Instead of like Iron Man, he's like Metal Hands Man. That way we only have to animate his hands, and everyone, and people are like, oh, I don't like that, I kind of like that. We can get it out even faster and make even more.
Yeah.
Like, at some point you're going to lose, because like I felt like Iron Man was really good for a number of reasons, like one of them being obviously Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark being a cool character to begin with, but Jon Favreau was clearly edited and directed by a person who knows comedy, because there's moments where it's cut to people's faces that highlight jokes and they punch jokes,
yeah,
and stuff like that. There's a lot of funny moments that would come out as stilted, like awkward dialogue, like every Spider-Man. but instead, this comes out good. It's, I believe it's because Favreau's behind it.
Absolutely. I mean, in particular, the first act moves along because of his direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the best part of the movie.
And maybe it speaks to Marvel's inexperience that they're like, we got this. We had one big movie.
That's it. So, that, they wouldn't be like, ah, Bendis is asking for too much money. Take him off and give that monkey a pen. You know?
That's how they hire Bendis.
Yeah.
Give that bald monkey a pen.
I mean, it did so well.
That's no love. Like you're saying, the movie did so awesome, and it's like, cool, but you definitely, come on, you're the director.
Yeah. You're not responsible for this doing well.
You're barely even in the movie. You play
Yeah, they're gonna have the back of the limo driver. You're gonna be standing on set like, fuck you, like, just yelling cut in the middle of takes and ruining every scene.
Alright, so I think we're all in agreement. We're going to bring Jon Favreau back in the second.
We got it. Yeah. Let's raise some money. Put a nickel on the table, Billy. Start the fundraising.
Alright, last thing we are going to talk about, for those of you who are not adults, I'm sorry, you're going to have to avert your eyes, but we have a red band trailer, which means adults only, for the new movie Wanted. So enjoy.
Huh. I watched this on Tumblr.
Time to geek out.
It's
Wanted.
Is this it?
This is the mind-blowing black hole I call John. And this is me, Wesley Gibson. Nobody. Like everybody else, I just keep waiting for a lotto ticket out of my boring existence. And into a life that means something.
I knew your father.
My father died when we got born.
Your father died yesterday on the rooftop of the Metropolitan Building. He was one of the greatest assassins who ever lived. The other one. Behind you.
I thought he'd be far. Shook the wings off the flies.
We're insane.
Insanity is coasting through life in a miserable existence when you have a cage lying unlocked inside.
I really think you have me mixed up with somebody else.
Shook the wings off the flies.
It's an issue.
Only a few people in the world can do that.
You can't even see them!
Your father could do it. And you can do it. We are a fraternity of assassins. The weapons of fate. The fraternity has trained assassins for thousands of years. We're going to give them everything you need.
Prepare the bullet.
To kill your target. Is ready.
We don't know how far the ripples of our decisions go. Kill one, save a thousand. Now, that's what we believe in, and that's why we do it.
This is what's been missing from your life, Wesley. Focus. All you have to do now is embrace it. We're in this unstable world. Every life hangs by a thread. We are that thread. Take control of your own destiny. Join us. One, two.
Yay. Man, there are gonna be bullets shooting in a bunch of directions.
Why are we, like, is that based on comic book?
Yeah.
Oh. Jesus. It's like a video game movie. Like, Bull did it or something like that.
In the comic, it's less about shooting bullets and turning them a little bit. It's more like villains and all that.
I do appreciate about this trailer, at least, it looks like for the first minute or so of the trailer that it actually has something to do with Mark Miller's comic book.
Yeah.
And then there's the second half of the trailer.
Yeah.
Wow, everybody just got very sad.
Did they make a Red Band trailer just so people would be like, I gotta go see that movie. Fucking Morgan Freeman says, mother.
Pretty much. Yeah. And that's it for the week again. Yeah. It is time for the next episode. So that, we turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
This is the part where we give back to the lovely audience.
Oh, hey.
Jumping the gun a little bit. So, who would like a chance to win $25 free in the form of a gift certificate to Midtown Comics? Simply raise your hand. All right, Batman, come on down.
Yeah. You want to go? You sure?
Guys, get excited. Enthusiastic about it.
What's your name?
Dash.
Dash?
Yeah.
Dash, audience? Audience, Dash.
Now, Dash, that is a superhero alias name, if I've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
Dash Lightning.
Yeah, it's like Dash Lightning, you know, like, it's always so on.
So, in accordance with the casualness of the show today, I wrote on a post-its. So, my normal professional business card.
FYI, we're slowly becoming hobos. Right?
Yeah. Some faster than others, by the way.
Yeah. So how it's going to work is I'm going to give you a question view, and then you listen to the multiple choice answers. Listen to everything first, then pick your correct answer.
Got it.
And then this gift card will be yours.
So you're answering the questions that Pete is going to ask.
Right.
And it's multiple choice, right?
Listen to all.
Yeah, you win that.
Okay. All right.
Are we all on board?
Thank you. Thank you. All right, here we go. By the way, today's trivia is about Lou Ferrigno.
Okay.
Yeah. Who has a fantastic cameo in The Hulk, by the way.
Spoiler.
We
knew that.
Yeah, I think everybody. Okay.
There's also a Stan Lee cameo.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a Stan Lee scat scene.
That would be fantastic.
Great third act.
Hey, Hulk. You want a Cleveland Steel?
Here we go. Question number one. Which one of these did Lou Ferrigno not compete in? Was it?
Wow.
Love in an Elevator. A. The Mr. Olympia competition. B. The Mr. Universe competition. C. The Mr. America competition. Or D. The Mr. Brownstone competition.
Oh, man.
Shout out to GNR fans.
C?
No, it's D. Mr. Brownstone competition.
Oh, wow. I'm so nervous.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
You know, Justin won 3 years in a row in Park Slope. He won Mr. Brownstone.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's my fault.
No.
But yeah, he has actually competed in all those, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Probably.
You didn't give away the answer. Usually, yeah.
Well, I thought it was.
It was kind of a giveaway.
Yeah.
It totally messed up.
Okay. Number two. Other than the Hulk, who was Lou's personal hero growing up? Was it A. Hercules? B, Spider-Man, or C, Drew Barrymore? So it's either A, Hercules, B, Spider-Man. Pick B.
Spider-Man.
That's right.
Nice.
Growing up as a little kid in Brooklyn, Lou Ferrigno's personal hero was the Hulk and Spider-Man. He got to play one of them. I think that's pretty cool.
Sure. That's the next question. That's good.
Thank you for that tip. Here we go. True or false? Lou Ferrigno. Thank you. I'm glad somebody got that.
There's two choices.
Yep.
Too casual.
Lou Ferrigno is the voice of the Hulk in the new Hulk movie.
True
is correct! $25 are yours! Make sure you let them know you got it here.
And Dash Speedster! Oh. You also win a copy.
Oh, awesome. Oh, yes. Yes.
All right.
You guys
should still both buy copies, though, when it comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. And give them to a lady friend.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Could be your mother. Your mother could be a friend that is a lady.
Never admit to that.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they're nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to? Pete?
Scar. Sunfalk. I can't wait. I've already read it, but I'm going to buy it.
You're going to buy all three variants?
Yeah, it's Greg Pak can do no wrong in my eyes. He's knocking it out of the park. And I can't wait for...
Not knocking it out of the park. I'm looking forward to Sky Doll number 2.
What?
Which is pretty good. It's Marvel's printing this French comic, which I think is awesome. Okay. It's not in French, but Invincible number 50. Find Invincible 50.
Those are yours too?
Yeah.
Fear Agent number 21 is coming out. End of the arc. This arc has been incredible.
Yeah, if you're not reading Fear Agent, you absolutely should.
Invincible number 50 was also mine. But I also read like indie French comics.
Nice, cool. Yeah. You like that?
I'm a digest girl, so I think the new Fables digest is coming out. That number 10, right? So. I don't know if it's coming out tomorrow, but I know it's coming out soon.
It's out.
It just came out.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
Very good.
Good prints.
It gets better. It's getting better. And
that's what I'm excited about. I'm going to go last week.
Nice.
And plug your stuff.
And my boyfriend is excited about, I don't know if it's coming out tomorrow, but the new, the final Omega Man.
Yes.
It just
came
out
last week.
Yeah.
Number 9.
They were both in a coma.
Yeah. Coma's going around.
James and Love comes out in September.
September.
And
then
the rest of the stuff you're working on comes out next year.
Yeah, fall 09.
And where can people check out updates on you?
They can go to my blog, castellucci.livejournal.com, or my website, misscecil.com.
Oh, nice. A couple of little plugs before we go.
He has plugged something.
Plug.
If you want to keep up with what I got going on, just call Joanne Gabris at 516-221-5547.
What do you think, wife or mom? Yes.
Mom.
You're right, mom.
Would never admit to it.
Yeah. That's why I'm looking
for real.
Talk
about your show on Spike, man.
I have an upcoming show on Spike Television. We haven't gone into production yet. We're in pre-pro now. But look for it and be one of the people to watch MoCap LLC when it comes out. Or go to mocapllc.com to see the web series that the TV show will be based on.
Tell them about your video on collegehumor.com.
a new video came out on collegehumor.com where I play Buddha, and a certain Justin Tyler of Comic Book Club fame plays a weary traveler. So check it out. It's
so weird. I'm so weird.
Pete and I have a video. We don't know.
He has a pilot in the New York Television Festival, am I right?
Yes,
Pete?
Yes.
Everybody plug. Jordan, what do you got coming up?
A couple of things to plug for Comic Book Club. Next week we're going to have Tom Brevoort on the show, so check that out.
Yeah.
And you can also check us out 3 times a week at pulpsecret.com, pulpsecret.com. A couple of people we want to thank John Vermeer! Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody!